Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tax Prep Partners To Go, a monthly podcast program with the CPA Technology Advisor's own executive editor, Darren Root, and President and CEO of SurePrep, David Weil, both credentialed CPA CITPs. Listen to Darren and Dave as they explore advanced processes and solutions for tax preparation practices utilizing today's advanced tax document automation technologies.
Hi, this is Darren Root. I'm the executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to Episode 1. So this is the inaugural episode of Tax Partner To Go. And I'm here today with my co-host, David Weil. Dave is the CEO of SurePrep, a fantastic company that is in the tax document automation and tax document outsourcing business. David really has been the has almost created this whole business around tax document automation. So Dave, welcome today.
Thank you, Darren.
So Dave, give our listeners, since this is our very first one, a little bit of your history. How did you get to this point to be really the go-to guy, the expert in really tax automation?
Sure. Well, to kind of go way back, my own personal professional background is as a CPA. I started with Coopers & Lybrand and did audits and tax work. So I really, have experience in the actual work that accounting firms perform and the workflow involved. And my first company that I started in 1997 was a pioneer in the field of what we called paperless audit software. Later, we started calling it paperless engagement software. But so as far back as 1997, I've been involved in creating software that aimed to take processes paperless and workflows paperless and improve efficiency in doing that. That company was purchased by CCH a while ago, back in 2001. They continue to market that product as Pro System Engagement. And in 2002, we saw some large firms, such as Ernst & Young, starting to create offshore facilities in India, for example, to process tax work, tax returns. And we looked at that and we said, while a firm like Ernst & Young might have the resources to set up a facility in India and train people and so on, the average firm won't have the scale or size to make that economical. And so we started SurePrep in 2002 with the idea to provide really a shared service to accounting firms below the Big Four level that would allow them to get the same types of efficiencies by processing work offshore. And so we were really the first U.S. company to provide tax outsourcing services to CPA firms starting in 2002. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and that really led to, a lot of other things, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and a lot of things that were unintended. We, when you start working out, okay, how do you outsource work that typically is done on paper in an office? Typically accounting firms get their shoebox of data and prepare their returns. We realized that, you're not going to ship papers back and forth through the mail or whatever across the world. So we realized that outsourcing necessitates a paperless workflow, that you need to scan documents, work on screen, and manage workflow electronically as a prerequisite just to outsource. And so that led us to the development of paperless preparation technologies and workflow technologies that in and of themselves have become products that we provide to customers that don't even outsource. And we also use those technologies for the outsourcing services we provide, and we are the largest provider of both onshore and offshore outsourcing services to CPA firms.
Well, what I've always been amazed as I've watched you, Dave, over the number of years is you, not only are you a pioneer, but you're also a visionary. I mean, you see a need and you solve the problem, and that's been fantastic for the profession. And there's been a whole industry created out of your vision of doing this, really, right?
Yeah, well, thanks for the credit, Darren. I appreciate it. But yeah, there has been a lot of really different product and service lines that have resulted out of this. You have the outsourcing itself, and you see that now branching off into different return types. It started with individual and then trust, and now business returns. You also have the workflow software that you see several firms now offering to be able to track things electronically. And you see the document management software that really, since outsourcing started, has become popular as a way to manage documents between different locations remotely and in the cloud, so to speak. And you have the OCR technology that allows documents, since, you know, really OCR technology was really pushed forward by outsourcing and paperless tax workflow, because now that you're scanning the documents and you have these images, people said, well, let's use these images for a purpose and get more automation out of them. So, you know, for instance, SurePrep was the first to really create a full OCR system to read documents and push the data from those documents into tax software in an automated way. We used it to automate our internal workflow. And, of course, we have many customers that use our OCR software as well.
Yeah. Well, since this is our very first in a series of podcasts that you and I are going to be co-hosting together, called Tax Partner to Go. Really, you're an expert in this field, and I practice in this field. So hopefully our listeners over the next year can, you know, they can go to iTunes or they can go to cpatechnologyadvisor.com, and they can download our monthly podcast along with our other podcasts, our Tech to Go podcast, our SBC to Go podcast, and our DMA to Go podcast, and make this a part of their series. And they'll, I think, Dave, over the next year, they're going to gain a lot of insight into just this whole concept of tax document automation and what's possible. And with your wisdom and guidance, I think they'll be able to make their firms a lot better. So before, Dave, we get started on today's topic, I want to thank ADP, our corporate sponsor, for sponsoring today's podcast. And, Dave, what we're going to talk about today, I'd really like to talk about the effect of the 7216 regulations on business return outsourcing today. So we're going to take various topics over the course of the year, but today I'd really like to, you know, 7216 is a rule that's been out there now for a while, but I don't know that everybody really understands what that is and then what effect that has on business returns as it relates to outsourcing and stuff. Does that sound okay for today?
Sure, that sounds great.
Well, before we really get started, I mean, can you just kind of give our audience just a little bit of an overview of 7216?
Sure. 7216 is a code section that has actually been around for decades, but it was revised a couple years ago, and those revisions became effective January 1 of 2009. And what those revisions required was that if an accounting firm is going to disclose taxpayer information to a third party, such as an outsourcer, such as SurePrep, or it could be anyone else, that any other type of service provider, or if they disclose information for marketing purposes, any disclosure of taxpayer information may require taxpayer consent. And the reason why I say may require is that there's some cases that require consent and some cases that don't. Now, this had a big impact on outsourcing because up until that point, most tax outsourcing had been done offshore. And 7216 said if the disclosure is to somebody offshore, then regardless, it requires written consent with specific language included if it's an individual return, and different requirements if it's a business return. And if it's outsourced onshore, then in many cases you don't need the written consent. So this, when that came out, since most people were outsourcing mostly individual returns, many firms moved their offshore outsourcing to onshore because they didn't like the specific required language in the consent letter that they were required to have signed. But the business returns were not impacted in the same way by 7216 as the individual returns. So what we're seeing now is a lot of firms increasing their interest in offshore business return outsourcing because it's not impacted the same way as the individual returns were by 7216.
Well, you know, and as a practitioner, I mean, we have so many returns that are due, you know, in such a short period of time anymore. The more outsourcing we can do of that particular task, I think the more efficient it makes our firm and the more work it allows us to particularly handle. But, you know, first I'd like to ask you, why would a firm really want to outsource a business return? What would you see the benefit would be?
Sure. Well, you know, typically when a firm would outsource a business return or any other return, they're looking to accomplish a handful of things. One of the things would be, of course, to reduce costs. So we hear constantly that tax compliance, as opposed to tax consulting, tax compliance work has become incredibly, incredibly competitive. And so in order to be able to compete at the price levels required and make a reasonable profit doing so, firms are looking for ways to reduce costs, and tax outsourcing is certainly one of them.
Well, I mean, you know, oftentimes, you know, you hire according to, you know, some of your busiest times as opposed to some of your softest times. And if you're hiring, you know, a lot of staff people, you know, just to get those returns done during that 2 or 3 month period of time, you know, and then those people aren't as busy the remainder of the year, sometimes we, you know, we've got to make sure we factor that cost in when we are comparing that to maybe an outsourcing cost. Wouldn't that be true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being able to have a resource that you can use on demand and only pay for it when you use it is quite a nice thing to have in a seasonal business. And like you said, if you had somebody making, I'm just going to throw out a number, you know, $50,000 a year, you to know the true cost, you wouldn't divide that by 2,000 hours a year. You would divide that by the number of hours they built.
Yeah.
So the cost, you know, looked at that perspective, you know, cost can be high if you're not able to fully utilize people. And this allows you to fully utilize your people and have this on-demand resource when you have the seasonal workload compression.
Well, especially if you are adding, you know, not only the 50 grand, but, you know, the benefit cost and the, you know, most tax work is done in an office space, and so you're not sending auditors out in the field, and so it requires a lot more office space and so on and so forth.
Sure, all the costs surrounding it, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, so how does the outsourcing of a business return, kind of tell me what the process for that would be like?
Sure. Let me say that we have, for smaller returns, it's a process where the data is sent to us. When I say sent, I mean uploaded to a website that we provide, and we prepare the return, and the client downloads it, reviews it, and can send it back to us for a correction, or can correct it themselves. And we have clients that do some very large returns where we break it up more to where we prepare the work papers and the M1 adjustments, but they review that before we prepare the return so that if it requires changes, we don't need to change it in two places, in the work papers and the return, so our client will review and approve the work papers, and then we'll prepare the return after that point. So there's a couple different, you know, potential workflows, and we work through clients with that based on the type of returns they have.
And we're probably talking about regular corps, S-corps, partnerships. Do nonprofits fit that category at all?
Right now, when we speak of business returns now, we're speaking about the C-corps, S-corps, and partnerships. But I think 990s are on the list to look at maybe next tax season.
Sure. So they go to a secure website, I'm sure, upload the data, the return really comes back to them. What sort of signatures are required at that point?
Well, 7216, if this processing is being done offshore, 7216 still requires consent from the taxpayer, and written consent, so a signed document. And typically, whoever you would have sign the engagement letter is the same person who would sign this consent.
Sure. So really, the rules for 7216 aren't a lot different for this business return than the individual return?
Well, it's not different than individual in terms of you still need to have written consent, but the details of it are actually quite a bit different, because with the individual returns, you need to you cannot include the request or the request for consent cannot be in the engagement letter. It has to be on a separate sheet of paper, and it has to have specific language that the IRS provides that needs to be put in there verbatim.
Okay.
And,
so what language is required in business? Sorry, Dave.
Sure. Go ahead.
So what data is required, in the disclosure for a business as different than an individual?
Sure. So for the business returns, first of all, you can include the request for consent as part of the engagement letter. So you don't need to have a separate document signed. It can be part of the engagement letter, and when the client signs the engagement letter, that satisfies the written consent rule for 7216. And furthermore, there is no specific text that needs to be put in the letter. Rather, they just give you the data points that you need to include, but they don't give you exact copy of text that needs to be in there. So, for instance, you need to put in the consent request the purpose of the disclosure. So, for instance, I'm disclosing it to a third-party service provider to assist in the preparation of the return. You know, that would be the purpose. And you need to indicate who the recipient is. Now, with 1040s, you need to say the name of the company, for instance, SurePrep or whomever it is. You need to actually specify the name. But for business returns, you don't. You just need to give a descriptive class. So, for instance, if you say a third-party service provider or data processor that assists us in the preparation of your return, you know, that's a descriptive class. You don't need to say the actual company name. That's a difference. And you need to put the tax return information that you're disclosing in the consent. So, you know, we plan on disclosing any and all information that you give us, or if it's some lesser amount, you can specify that. But you need to specify the information you plan to disclose. But you can pick your own language, put it in the engagement letter, and just get the consent as part of getting the engagement letter signed.
Well, I mean, that's significantly different than an individual return. I mean, just the ability to put it in the engagement letter, so it's not a, you know, when you're doing it with an individual, you're kind of making a big deal out of it by having a separate document and spelling it out with verbatim language. Putting it in the engagement letter and being able to put some of your language in there makes that a whole lot more friendly, don't you think?
Oh, much, much more so. And what we are seeing is that many of our clients who are not comfortable with the way 7216 requires consent for individual returns, so they process individual returns onshore with us, they are comfortable with the requirements for business returns, and so they do business returns offshore with us and the individual returns onshore.
Okay. How often do you have to get an engagement letter every year that's signed to do this each year? How often do you have to do that?
Well, 7216 says that if you don't specify a time period in the consent, then it defaults to 1 year.
Okay.
Now, you can actually say, I'm requesting this consent for, you know, 10 years or 20 years, and then you would not need to get it every year. But since most firms take the approach for business returns of putting the consent language in their engagement letter, and because they get engagement letters signed every year, typically for business returns, they'll get it every year just because the engagement letter is something that they do every year.
Which is pretty routine, so that should be pretty straightforward. So what have you seen so far with business owners and their openness to outsourcing?
Well, you know, I think that the best perspective on this, of course, is from CPA firms themselves. You know, they know their clients, but I can give you some, you know, secondhand feedback that we get from our clients who are the accounting firms, and you know, they as compared to individuals, you know, their business clients are used to the concept of outsourcing. They probably outsource multiple tasks, like payroll, let's say, several things that involve company confidential information. But they're used to the idea of using third-party service providers to gain efficiency. They also,
sorry about that. Go ahead.
You know, they also want their work to be done economically. You know, and they're putting price pressure on their accounting firm. So, you know, they understand that the accounting firm is doing this in order to be able to provide, you know, that type of competitive pricing. And I would say one other thing that is a reason, you know, you asked earlier, why would an accounting firm want to outsource business returns? And I mentioned that reducing costs was a big factor, but there are other things that really impact the client. So, for instance, typically you can get returns back faster to your clients when you outsource. So you improve client service, and that's, you know, a benefit to the client, and the CPA firm wants to accomplish that. Also, one thing that accounting firms accomplish when they outsource is they really promote a more consultative mindset in their own staff people. So their staff people, rather than focusing on assembling the data and inputting it, they can focus on more value-added opportunities and even consulting opportunities that improves a firm's possibility to generate higher rate per hour revenue, but also will end up benefiting the client in the end. So there's several benefits to the client that can occur or result from outsourcing.
Yeah, I mean, I can see business owners being more open-minded to the concept because they're used to, many business owners would just be used to that sort of a general concept, I think, just in running their own businesses, the concept of outsourcing and getting things done in that nature. Whereas an individual, you know, at least somebody that's maybe never run their own business, it's a little bit more foreign to them.
Absolutely.
The idea. So, as it relates to, just to kind of summarize 7216 a second, you know, it sounds like it's a far easier process, less sort of intrusive to the client to get this document, you know, engagement letter signed and get authorization to outsource this. And so at this point, the accounting firm has the option of whether they want to have this done onshore or offshore, and that's probably more of a pricing decision, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely. It's, you know, since one of the goals is to reduce costs and it is less expensive to get the service performed offshore, you know, as long as the disclosure requirements aren't too onerous, people will generally opt for offshore.
Yeah. I mean, typically onshore versus offshore, do you look at, is there a great price difference? Is it, 20%, 50%, 100%? What is it in that sort of ranges, that price difference?
The onshore, to get something done onshore is about twice as much. So it's about, you know, 100% more.
Yeah, so it's a significant number. So it certainly makes it worthwhile. Quality-wise, what do you find? Quality is always very good in offshore processing?
Absolutely. I mean, people are smart all over the world. You know, you can get smart people. We don't have a monopoly on that. So it just comes down to training them well. And that's one thing that, you know, any outsource provider that a firm looks at would want to make sure that the people are trained well and provide good work product.
So it seems to me like a smart accounting firm owner would look at, you know, their staff and the optimal staff size, you know, for them to get work done throughout the year and for this excess work that gets created during busy season to at least consider the option of outsourcing business returns first, because that's most cost effective maybe for them, and then maybe look at onshore outsourcing of individual returns. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. And you know, just to make the statement that, you know, many firms still outsource individual returns offshore, the ones that were willing to make the consent disclosure, but it's much less. It's about a third the number that used to before the 7216 requirements. So for the most part, yes, firms are looking at outsourcing business returns offshore and individual returns onshore.
Have you seen most firms complying fairly well with 7216 from your experience?
Yes, I think that firms take it seriously, and the ones that continue to go offshore are all getting the required disclosures, and the ones that didn't want to send them are doing it onshore.
Good. Well, Dave, we're about out of time today. I really appreciate you, actually both of us, kicking off this event today. I think this is going to be a great series. It's such a valuable topic to all practitioners, as, you know, even myself, always looking for ways to do things a little bit more efficiently during busy season, and this will be a tremendous series. So any final thoughts from today?
No, I just want to thank you for inviting me and talking about this, which I think is, you know, does have a lot of relevance to CPA firms today. And I'll look forward to hopefully doing more of these with you.
Well, you're a valuable expert, and we'll talk through all types of issues and ways that practitioners can do tax processing more efficiently as they move their practice forward using technology. So, Dave, thanks so much for today, and I will talk to you again next month.
Great. Thank you, Darren.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.